It's time for a Q&A, part four. Don't ask me why I'm doing this. I'm killing time while I'm looking at my post for the questions. Blah, blah, blah. Oh shit, I think I passed it up. So what happens when I start recording before I've actually looked up the post? I don't know if I'm going to cut this out or not. Maybe, maybe not. You guys tend to like reality. I have 91 questions. I don't even know how many I have answered. Let's see. Okay. I've already done a fair amount. This is good. Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right. Okay. I have got this. Not sure if I'm going to cut this first minute out, but it might be there to see. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start. Maybe I'll do my official intro just in case I do cut it out. Hey, everybody. It's Dangerous ASMR. What is up? It is time for the next part of the Q&A. I definitely did not just record another minute that I possibly cut out of this audio, but hey, here we are once again. Okay. Q&A. Sorry, I am all over the place today. Oh, long week. Okay, I'm going to start where I left off. I remember this time. I totally remember. It is Jacob Lim, and he says, first question, would you ever consider doing a super long role play with a complete story start to finish as opposed to multiple parts? Maybe an adventure or action drama with you as the main character with the listener as a partner slash love interest. The whole thing could be like an hour or hour and a half. Maybe even longer if the story requires it. Yeah, I totally would. I would say my biggest difficulty in doing something like that would be the amount of uploads that I put out now takes up so much time that in order to do like a really long role play that was like an hour and a half, I'd have to sit and write a script that was just like the average role play script for a role play that's like 10 to 15 minutes is 4 pages long. So if I was doing something that was like an hour long, you know, you have to do the math. I don't know why I just told myself to do it. So let's say like 5 times as long. So I'm going to be doing like a 20, 25 page script to do something like that, which would be a lot of fun, but it would take up a lot of extra time. So it would be something that I kind of had to do on the side. And then if I did, I'd probably have to say like, okay, these are your uploads for the week. Like this 1 hour long audio is your upload for the week. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun, but it would also be a fuck ton of work, but I absolutely would. Time is the only issue. And I mean, if it's something you guys would like to see, if you wouldn't mind like skipping 2 uploads to make like 1 giant upload or 3 uploads to make a giant upload, I could do something like that in the future. It'd be a lot of fun. Because sometimes when I'm doing a story and I'm doing parts of a story, I'll have to stop it before I'd like to, theoretically, because I just like, I'll write it and I'm like, okay, I have to end it on some kind of like cliffhanger note because I'm like, if I keep going in this story, this audio is going to end up like 30 minutes long. And it's just, it's not that I don't want to do an audio that long, but it takes so much time. Not just the writing, but especially the editing takes a fuck ton of time. I would say that's probably the lengthiest part of the process. It'd be a lot easier if there's not like a ton of sound effects that are necessary to make it immersive. Like for example, the editing that I do in erotics really varies the amount of time that I spend. Like for example, the last one I did with the Amazons, that took a while because it was doing scenes that are public and then you've got a lot of like body motion and you've got to try to recreate it. It takes a lot of editing, and usually if I really like the idea, I'll do it regardless, even if I'm like, oh fuck, this is going to be a lot of work. I do it anyway because it's something I really want to see, and I don't always want every scene to be like, you know, we're having sex in a bedroom because it can be kind of dull, and so I want to like take it outside the box and do something different and multiple characters, and that can be fun, but it's a lot of work. So then I think extrapolating this to some like hour-long audio, the odds are I'm not just sitting in a room with you like, hey, let's have a conversation, and then it's just like minimal editing time. So long story short, long fucking long ass answer short. Yes, I would. Time is the only thing that would hold me back from really doing it. But if you guys would not mind missing like 3 uploads for me to do a jumbo upload, that makes sense, then it's something I would totally do. I'd also have to think of a story that I could keep intriguing and interesting for an hour long. It'd be like an audio play, maybe like a murder mystery whodunit type, I think could be a lot of fun. You know, like I'm Sherlock and you're Holmes. Oh God, that was embarrassing. Sherlock and Watson. I swear to God, I'm not even day drinking today. Not that I ever do. Okay. Gray Cloud says, hi, Danger. I've been waiting for this moment. Well, your moment has arrived. This is more about the crossover characters, but could you describe what each character looks like? We already know Venus is a child / teenager. I have my own interpretation of what each of them look like, but I want to know if you had a specific image in your head. Oh, wow. I don't really have a specific image, I think, for each character. In my mind, it's kind of like a vague, because it's not like I could sit down and draw them and be like, this is exactly what they look like. I see them more as like their presence, like the werewolf girl. I see her as like shorter, you know, like blue or blue-green eyes, or maybe like a amber color. With the Countess, I see her as like taller and pale, dark hair, really an imposing kind of presence, like very self-assured and stoic. But a lot of it, I don't try to describe the characters so much as their appearance, because I like the listener to kind of imagine what they want them to look like, because I know for everybody, it's going to be different. That's a part of a reason why I really don't show myself. Because I feel like if you know what a person looks like, if you can see them when they're playing these different characters, it can be kind of hard to imagine, you know, some other person doing it. Because if you're very familiar with this person's face, you're going to kind of see them every time that you listen to the character. So in that sense, I leave their appearance kind of open for interpretation. But I see, like, the werewolf girl is, like, early 20s. The Countess would be more, like, in her mid-30s, I would say. Part of that has to do with their character, because the Countess is definitely, like, more mature, and the werewolf girl is definitely more friendly. So she'd be, like, maybe, like, 19, 20, 21, like, young and optimistic and just adorable. And Venus, I see her as a teenager, like 16, just like totally Valley Girl-esque, probably. She's the one I would see most as like, you know, blonde hair with roots and 16 and just totally, you know, girly, kind of like obnoxious Valley Girl type teenager. But also, you know, she's a fucking heart-eating monster, which I love. I love that juxtaposition. So yeah, I don't really have generally, like for the witch, I do see her as like having long, like curly hair, just like, you know, beautiful, voluminous, like wavy, curly, just kind of like, just like this wild, beautiful woman, you know? But other than that, I don't tend to have like super specific images in my head, and I like to leave it up for interpretation. I think it's more fun that way. And that was a good question. Levin Jericho Mosqueda says, will Venus have a future series of her own? If people want it, sure. I think it could be fun to at least do a standalone. Like I want to do dealing with how she came to be and what she is, because I know everybody is curious. It took me a while to figure out exactly what I wanted her to be. And I finally came to the conclusion of what she is, and I really like it. But if you guys like her enough, I'd be happy to do a standalone series of her and her wacky adventures murdering people and consuming their flesh to survive. Because I actually really do like her as a character. I like that she's sarcastic and bitchy and just this, like, ancient fucking monster. I don't know. I really enjoy that. I know she's fucking annoying, too, because of her voice. Her voice is pretty annoying, but I really enjoy her as a character. So I would if people wanted it, if people were interested. Yeah. Live studio audience asks, are there any particular roleplay scenarios you've had in mind you haven't gotten to do yet because of logistical, creative, or production holdups? Probably logistical more than anything, because I do have a lot of ideas I would like to do that just time alone, I haven't been able to do. And sometimes it's getting to different chapters. I don't want to abandon a story, or like sometimes I'll be like, oh, okay, I need to upload a chapter, and it's like months go by and I'm like, fuck, I do mean to get to this story, but then I've also got all these other stories. It's like, oh, that'd be so much fun. Like, I really want to do one that's based on mind control. I really, really want to do one based on mind control. I've had this really fun idea, and it's not so much sexy, although of course, like, there is that kind of the taking of power can be very erotic in the kind of a domination sense, but the reason the person's being, the listener's being mind controlled isn't for an erotic purpose. And I really wanted to do that series for a while, but I've just been held up getting stuff done and trying to write chapters for other series. And I have some awesome scripts that I've had submitted I really want to do too, that I'm probably going to be doing next month because I'm going out of town for a week and a half. So I think I'm going to do those scripts ahead of time and just kind of like pre-upload them, because I don't want, you know, I'm just going to schedule them to go up because I'm not going to miss out on any posts, but I'm going to be out of town in October for a friend's wedding. So I'll probably get to some of the scripts then, but like logistically, yes, it can be hard because I do want to finish out some of my series before I go to something new. But at the same time, it can be tough because I kind of end up falling in love with some of my series, and it's really hard to want to end it because it's like, then I have to say goodbye to that character, and it's tough, you know, to be like, oh, then I won't be able to do them again. And so that can be kind of a drag too. If I drag on ending a series, sometimes it's because I just don't want to, because I'm like, there's still more story that could be told, even though eventually the audience is going to be like, why is this part 20? Like, please end this fucking story. Okay. Moas Moes, I apologize again if I am not saying this. Mace, maybe? If you have one, what is one thing you've added to your bucket list? If I have a bucket list. I did at one point. I think, like, much like the description of the characters, my bucket list is vague. I would say anything I've added to my bucket list, oh God, for the channel or just for life in general? For life in general, my bucket list mostly is just travel underlined several times. I've only been out of the country once, and that was to Mexico, going to Mexico. And when I went, I went twice. The first time I was sober when I crossed the border, but I was not sober when I left. I wasn't driving, by the way. Don't come at me. And the second time I was not sober the entire time I went or was in there or came back, and I left a really nice jacket there. So I've been to Mexico twice, and I haven't been to any other countries, primarily for not just time, but also financial reasons. Like, it's expensive. Travel is fucking expensive. I've been to different places in the country, though. I've been to different, like, major cities. And one of you guys was asking, actually, on one of my Q&As, they said something like that they were inspired by the fact that I'm going out despite social anxiety, and asking what I do to really kind of do the things that scare me. And in that sense, traveling is one of the things that I do that gets me out of my comfort zone. And by that I mean I have gone to several major cities where I don't know anyone by myself for extended trips. And if anyone has traveled alone and they have social anxiety, you know, like, that feeling. And I have a terrible sense of direction. So, like, I went to Seattle, and that place is set out pretty easy to understand. Like, it's a grid. The map is pretty easy. I can't tell you how many fucking times I got lost. I got lost walking places because to get myself to go and, like, okay, I'm going to get out of this Airbnb and I'm going to go see something, and I'm going to, like, take, you know, the public transportation, and I'm going to go down, and I really want to see this one, like, shop, right? Like, this really cool Japanese, like, superstore, and they had all kinds of stuff there, and I was like, I want to go see it. And it was in their Chinatown. And they also had, like, the pinball museum. And I'm like, I want to fucking go see it. So like I do all my trips like as cheap as possible because I think that's really fun. Like stay in somebody's like little sectioned off room in their apartment in downtown Seattle for super cheap because I'm not going to do a hotel. I'm going to stay in a stranger's house, which also makes me very uncomfortable. And I'm going to go take this public transportation and eat in a restaurant by myself multiple times. All of it making me sweat. I have to use like extra strength deodorant. I'm sitting there like acting cool and calm and like playing solitaire on my phone because I'm a solitary individual here and trying to act like I'm not alone. And I found in a bigger city, being by yourself feels less intimidating because a lot of people are out there by themselves. So as opposed to like if I'm out by myself in like a smaller town, there's not a lot of people that are out there sitting and eating alone or hanging out alone. Whereas if you go to like a big city, there's a fair amount of people that are commuting and just doing their day-to-day thing and you don't feel like you stick out as much. But that's the stuff that I do that scares me. I go and I'll travel by myself solo. And I've met a lot of people, they'll ask me like, oh, are you here visiting somebody? Or like, who are you here with? And I'm just like, oh no, I'm just traveling around like by myself. And people are always like, holy shit, like that's amazing. Because I think a lot of people are scared to do that. And like I said, I also took that class in public speaking. And that was also fucking terrifying for me. I was good at it and I fucking hated every second of it, but I'm really glad I did it. And so that's a lot of like when I travel, I love that I went and I love the experiences that I had, even though I was uncomfortable the entire time, generally until I'm really into something and I can like let go and fully immerse myself in the experience and forget myself. I'm always glad I did it, but you have to embrace the fact that you're going to feel uncomfortable and you're going to feel sweaty and gross and shitty and awkward and obvious, especially when you're a woman as tall as I am. You get a lot of attention. And so as somebody with anxiety, that's not exactly my favorite thing in the world. Like, it's funny because they always say with women, they're like, oh, when you get older, you get invisible and people don't notice you. And, you know, I'm like, oh my God, that'd be so nice. Like, I would love it. Man, I can't wait till I'm middle-aged and nobody notices me anymore. Which, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but part of me can't wait. I don't need to be visible anymore. You know, so yeah, that was a lot of rambling. So yes, bucket list travel for the channel. I might be really, really close to getting it, which is the binaural microphone, because I'm really I swear to God I can talk. I'm really close to hitting 1,000 patrons, which, you know, obviously it'll go back down by the end of the month because it always happens. Like you drop a bunch of patrons at the end of the month and they come back. And, but once I hit that 1,000, even when it goes back down, and hopefully goes back up, I'm going to get the binaural microphone. And it's expensive. It's really expensive. And I wanted to really have to work to hit a milestone to get it because I've been fucking craving it, you guys. And when I get that binaural microphone, I'm not going to use it on my main channel for like a month, I think. I'm just going to use it for erotics for a while just as like a reward for you guys for supporting me so much, because if it wasn't for all the support that I get from you guys, I could not put as nearly as much time in this channel as I do. Like, I've been able to take my job from full-time to part-time because of the income that I'm getting here, and it's just been the hugest fucking blessing in my life. Like, I am so incredibly grateful. You guys have no idea how fucking lucky and grateful I feel. Like, every day, I keep, like, slapping myself, like, can this be real? That I get to do this thing that I love for people that really honestly enjoy it. It's incredible. Yeah, so bucket list answered, question done. Good, yes. All right, Luis Lopez says, if you could turn into any of your characters, who would it be? That's a very interesting question. Like, I would have said the witch, but she's, like, near death, so no. Wow, that's a good fucking question. I mean, a lot of them are mentally ill. Oh, God. A lot of them are mentally ill or in harm's way. I'm going to say no. I would not turn into any of them right now. If I could put them in a better situation. The witch, obviously, because magical powers, like, fuck yes. Or maybe Carmelina, because she's not so hit by tragic backstory. She's kind of like happy-go-lucky. And I always thought being a vampire would be really cool. Will says, what is one roleplay you won't do, or is everything fair game? Like I said before, it's anything that I find personally offensive. But that, honestly, like, you would have to go out of your way to write a roleplay that was kind of horrible. Because most people aren't going to say, like, oh, yeah, you're the grand wizard from the KKK. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to do this roleplay. Like, no one's going to write a fucking roleplay like that. So generally, anything is fair game. Like I said, when it comes to erotic stuff, there are a couple things I won't do. And obviously, I'm not going to do, like, crazy out there shit for the main Patreon just because a lot of people aren't going to like it. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, here's an extreme water sports erotic. I think it's going to turn a lot of people off. So I try to, when I do erotics for the main channel, I try to really stick to themes that I think the majority of listeners could enjoy. But something that I won't do for erotic audios, I won't pretend to be a little kid because that's just feeding into pedophilia. And I think that's really gross. And I'm not talking age play when it comes to, like, if the listener is, like, you know, a little boy dom or a little girl, you know, or a little boy sub or a little girl sub, like, that's different because that's an age play thing. But I won't pretend to be like, oh, hi, mister, what's going on? Oh, don't touch my no-no, please. Like, that's, I'm not going to do that. And I also won't pretend to fuck a animal that is not, like, a human hybrid. So I'm not just going to be like, hey, look at your golden retriever is looking really hot right now. Like, I'm not going to do that. Those are the two I won't do erotically. Anything else I'll pretty much do. I really like a challenge. So, yeah. And I, you know, yeah, so. Basic. Okay, Paul M says, the best question you will answer is, will you answer all these questions? Yes, unless I think it's too personal, in which case I'll probably give you a sarcastic response, fake answer. Mice or Mick E or Mike E says, do you have a favorite sport or hobby? If so, what is it? I do not like sports. I have a least favorite sport, and that's volleyball. And that is from all the times in high school where, despite being, like, the tallest girl, I'd be picked last. And honestly, I cannot blame them. I would not have picked me. I was a detriment to the team because I'd try to hit that ball and somehow it would end up going behind me every fucking time. So I do not like volleyball. If I had a favorite sport, I'd have to say basketball. That was the one I enjoyed the most. But I don't have a lot of coordination. Favorite hobby? Beyond doing audios, I like to paint. I'm not very good at it, but I like it anyway. Nurse Bold says, why is it called blue shirt as a tier? I actually answered this question for you on a DM, but I will tell everybody at large anyway. So the first person that I created the tier for was a patron of mine, and he wanted to donate at a higher level. And I was like, well, you're not going to get any rewards if you give outside of the tier, which is stupid, but that's the way it works. And he's like, okay, that's fine. I don't care. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. You deserve your perks. You're a patron of mine. Like, you deserve access to all my audios. So I'm going to create a tier just for you. And I was thinking about, like, what the hell am I going to call it? Well, when we would talk back and forth in Discord, there's that little, like, praying emoji, which is, like, the hands clasped together in prayer. And the person's wearing, like, a blue shirt, like a long sleeve blue shirt. But we never used it as prayer, obviously. I mean, you know, like, I'm going to be talking about prayer that much. We use it to represent a high five, like, we're high-fiving because we're just super cool like that. And so I was like, oh, look, we're wearing identical blue shirts because we're high-fiving in the identical blue shirts. And so we always were like, fuck yeah, like, blue shirts for the win. And so I called it the Blue Shirt Club, and it just kind of, you know, grew from there. It's the Blue Shirt Club. Because we were the original founding members of the Blue Shirt Club, and that's where it came from. Jay asks, pizza/cookie tutorial at 30K. If people really wanted to find out, I do make some bomb-ass pizza. No idea if people want to hear about it. At ASMR, here's how I make pizza, but sure. What comments do I get most of the time on YouTube? Usually they're really supportive. Sometimes I get mean comments, and I'll be honest, I'll fucking delete a mean comment. If you're gonna be a fucking asshole, you can go fuck yourself. I will delete your shit, and I don't give a shit. Like, I have to stop myself from responding sarcastically because it is so tempting for me. I'm not gonna pretend it doesn't affect me. It pisses me off. Like, I wanna sit there and just like rip person to shreds, but like, nope, just delete that shit and move on. But yes, it does bother me. But mostly the comments are really supportive. Like, okay, don't get me wrong, I don't mind criticism if it's constructive. But if you're just gonna comment on audio like, this audio was garbage, why did I waste my time? Go fuck yourself. Like, that, you do nothing positive by responding that. Or people that will be like, I didn't listen to this, but like, really? No, you're the kind of jackass that like honks the second the fucking light turns green and I didn't slam on my fucking gas. Fucking pieces of shit, I swear to God. But yeah, most of the time the comments are really positive or nice. I do sometimes get constructive criticism, which I actually really appreciate. Or like, you know, just like jokes, but I like those too. When a Venus plays GTA, I don't think I'm going to put Venus playing Grand Theft Auto, but I could. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Did Peter Piper pick peppers? If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? Oh, let me try that again. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Did Peter Piper pick a peck of pickled peppers? If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? They are up his ass. That is his fetish. Do you think I am cool? Oh, fuck yeah, you're cool. You are so goddamn cool. If you want to be cool, you're fucking cool. Unless you're leaving mean comments in my comment section, in which case you're a piece of shit and should die. Oh, gosh. I don't want to leave it at that. I realize this is going really long, but I don't want to leave it at that. Zip zap z zippity zoop says, did you do it? If so, at what cost? Did I do what? At what cost? I swear to God, I didn't murder that man. And it didn't cost me my soul. Gooseman says, do you read webtoons? Yes, I do. I have read a couple. I can't remember the names now because I'm terrible. I've read a couple normal ones and then I've read some erotic ones that are really good. Okay, I'll leave it at this one. Alex says, what was the inspiration for the werewolf tsundere? There wasn't an inspiration. It was, I wanted to do a character that wasn't so dark and, that would be more possessive of a character, of a listener, than not for a reason that was like negative or self-serving. And then I don't know if she was initially intended in my mind to be so kind of sweet and caring, but the fact that she did what she did because she thought she was doing the right thing, I felt really spoke to her character. And so she just kind of grew naturally. I really enjoy making her sweet and kind of possessive and, but overall just like a really good person. I felt like she was so different than a lot of the characters I do, which tend to be really selfish. And you know, and she's able to recognize when she's fucked up and when she's doing things that are wrong and actually grow and learn. But no, she wasn't really inspired by anything. She just kind of grew naturally from her starting point and progressed to kind of the person that she is now. Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to end it at that. I did not wish anybody death for negative comments. I am not that petty, and I am that bitch. I will. I'm not going to pretend I don't. I will. That does affect me, yes. And now watch you all just be like, I fucking hate your channel, Dangerous. Go fuck this Q&A. It's terrible. Go ahead, say it. Fucking say it. I dare you. I'll delete your comment. Okay, so that was a long one. I hope you guys enjoyed it, as kind of crazy as I am, random as I am. Yes, I will have your next upload for you on Thursday. I hope you enjoy it. And I'm finally getting to that serial killer audio on Sunday. I have had that thing recorded for like 2 weeks. So when you hear it, it is like one of the first things I recorded after I got over my sickness. So if I sound a little sick in that audio, that's why. I've had that thing sitting on my desktop, like waiting to be posted. And I'm just like, okay, so it's going to come out Sunday. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. As always, I had a really fucking good time. And I do plan to answer all these questions. So keep leaving them if you have any more that you want to ask. And I will talk to you next week. Bye, guys. Mwah.